Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network. And welcome to I Think I'm Psychic, and you can be too, with your host, Natasha Rosewood. Stay tuned for this exciting hour that explores the power of your intuition and teaches you how to use that power to open up your life. Now, here's your host, Natasha Rosewood.
Is there someone you haven't been able to forgive? How is that working for you, as Dr. Phil would say? Would you rather be right and hang on to your resentment, or would you rather be happy? Who really loses when we don't forgive? Join me, Natasha Rosewood, and my guest today, Liz Robitaille, life coach and certified Louise Hay teacher, as we talk about what forgiveness really means and how it can clear the way for happiness. Welcome, Liz.
Thank you so much for your invitation. I'm very honored to be here today.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to this show because, as I've been saying on my last few shows, forgiveness seems to me the first thing that we have to do before we can manifest anything else that's good in our lives. And I'd also like to thank Lori for coming back on, my regular participant. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Natasha. Thank you.
So nice to have you back. So if you, anybody out there in the audience, has any questions or comments about forgiving someone or yourself, please feel free to call into the show at 1-866-472-5795 or email me afterwards at natasha@natashapsychic.com. So last week, we debated the question whether our emotions can cause or cure our cancer. I'm sure if Louise Hay were here, Liz, author of You Can Heal Your Life, her answer would be an emphatic yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So with physical diseases, as she would call them, now affecting us in epidemic proportions, especially cancer, the topic of forgiveness seems to be a natural segue to last week's show about healing, not just cancer, but our other blocks to happiness. Perhaps if we truly understand the power of forgiveness, we will also understand what it can do for us. So Liz, could you please tell us briefly about the work of Louise Hay?
I'd be happy to. Louise Hay is the author of the book, You Can Heal Your Life, in which she has written about how the mind and the body are connected and gives information within the book about clues that your inner higher self are actually giving you, this is my interpretation, of what you're being called to forgive in your life.
Could you give us a small example of that?
Sure, I can. A simple one would be the common cold. Someone gets a cold, and they collapse into it. They take time off work. They do whatever they need to do to take care of themselves. Louise Hay writes, colds are about doing too much. So in that example, Spirit is saying, slow down, take some time for yourself.
Okay.
And so as you slow down, take time for yourself, the cold goes away.
Yes.
In more dramatic experiences, with cancer, for example, and Louise speaks of her own journey with cancer as the impetus for reaching the point of forgiveness in her own life. The cancer itself calls us to be in a place of understanding. It's time to release the past, to release old resentments, and to move into a place where we can forgive and learn to love ourselves exactly as we are.
Right. So, what I understand is that cancer kind of does eat us up, and that's what unforgiving does. Am I right in that?
Yes, the resentment that we hold on to manifests in cancer for some people. It can manifest in other things as well, of course, physically.
Yes.
And once we understand that our old tapes are filled with resentment, anger, and guilt, then we can begin the process of releasing the past and accepting ourselves and loving ourselves
so
and doing the work of forgiveness.
Okay. So, Liz, what exactly do you offer your clients? What is that process?
The process I offer is through coaching or through workshops, the ability to understand the importance of self-compassion in reaching the stage where we're willing to forgive.
Okay.
What happens with forgiveness is we're told that we must forgive and forget.
Mm-hmm.
And so self-compassion gets lost in the journey of forgiveness. And what I do is stand beside my clients in helping them to really connect to self-compassion around their life so that they can move forward.
I like that. I like that. So how do you define forgiveness exactly?
In the work I do,
yes.
I define forgiveness as a three-part process.
Mm-hmm.
It involves self-compassion, healthy release of anger, and the willingness to begin the journey of forgiveness. And mm-hmm. and by doing all three items, then when you go to the full statement of forgiveness, you're in completion. So that at the end of that process, there's really no connection to the past in the emotional sense. And you can view your story from a place of detachment and acceptance.
Right. I've heard several ways of getting to that place, but how would you approach somebody that comes to you and says, well, if I have to forgive, that means I have to let that other person off the hook and almost condone what they did to me?
Well, that's one of the things that Louise Hay writes in her book, that
mm-hmm.
forgiveness never condones the action.
Right.
It simply frees us from the judgment of the person.
Right.
And what I encourage my clients is to really understand that you have a right to feel your feelings about what happened.
Okay.
In whatever state that is. And through that process of owning your own feelings, then we can begin to do the work.
And apart from cancer, what are the other symptoms you see in people of, you know, the impact of holding on to that resentment?
The greatest one is depression.
Yes.
And depression itself fuels many other diseases.
Right.
And, you know, arthritis can be one because the energy of holding on so tight to the past lives in the joints. Certainly any heart conditions and lung conditions are directly related to the need and the call for forgiveness and trust.
That's very interesting because in my practice, my psychic practice, when I'm reading people, we talked about this a lot last week. I'm not, of course, a doctor, but I have some talents in being able to tune in energetically to the person's energy and see where the blocks are and see what the emotion is behind the block and to ask them to get help in releasing that emotion, resolving the emotion, so that then the physical block can just dissipate and then not cause the heart attack or the cancer or the arthritis, or ameliorate it at least. So, Laurie, is this making sense to you about forgiveness?
It's actually brought up areas that I've never thought of and considered, so yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How are you at forgiveness? Because I know I'm no saint when it comes to this issue.
I seem to be able to forgive
yes.
people. And I believe that it's through acceptance of who they are, not to say that anything that's come my way has not been painful, because it certainly has.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that from where I'm at in my life, it has to be myself not forgiving myself.
Yeah.
And I feel that it's when things come to me and the pain and everything is kind of laid at rest, it'll resurface. And then I go back and question myself, you know, could perhaps I have answered that differently? Could I have done something different? I actually take on full responsibility. And I'm referring to in relationships where I'm shocked that I do that, because the relationship is of two.
What would you say to that, Liz?
Well, one of the things that that I recognize here is that when I say it's important to forgive myself, very difficult to do that if I'm holding sole responsibility for what happened.
Oh, okay.
So that if I can be in the self-compassion and say, what happened was unfair, why was it unfair, what did I need, and really be totally present with myself, then my response to what happened will change. And I will stop living in the victim energy of why me and why did it happen, and begin to have an appreciation of the experience.
And do you believe, Liz, that we can learn from these experiences? Are they showing us something?
Yes. Yeah. One of the things I've witnessed with my clients is that a pattern will continue to replay itself until we forgive and understand it.
And so forgiving ourselves.
Yes. And one of the examples would be a situation that triggers you in the present moment, which is almost foreign to what you think is happening.
Yes.
And yet it's very familiar.
Yes.
And so as I work with my clients, I'll ask the question, well, when did you first feel this way? When did you first experience this? And often what comes up is that there's a history within this present experience that triggered that feeling, whether it's from childhood or from being in your teens. A lot of the injury in what I've witnessed stems from those times of our lives.
And
recycle an experience that we had as a teenager, for example, a friend betraying us. And then until we deal with that betrayal, it will continue to resurface in relationships until we get clear that, you know what, I'm still attracting the same kind of person because I'm still waiting to deal with the betrayal.
And quickly, we're just coming up to break, Liz. What does the process require? What is the forgiveness then? Is it just going, I love myself, I understand why that person did that to me, I have compassion for why they did it to me, it wasn't fair. Is that it? Is that enough, or is there more?
Well, I would say the number one is compassion for yourself about
yes.
it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And to, if I put myself in worrying about what they think, what they did, how they behave, what their motives were, I am abandoning myself.
Right. You give me your power away.
That's right.
Yes.
You give your power away. So my encouragement is to be really present with yourself and say, what happened here? What was unfair? How can I support myself so that I never let this happen again?
Okay. And would you
through that vehicle, the forgiveness process begins.
Wonderful. So we're just coming up for break very shortly. So when we come back, let's talk about loving the self. Thank you and stay tuned. Welcome back to I Think I'm Psychic and You Can Be Too. And if you have just tuned in today, we are talking with Liz Robitaille about the real meaning of forgiveness and how it can clear a path to happiness for all of us. So, Liz, you know, you talk about compassion. It's interesting for me as a psychic because I have encountered many, many psychics in my life, and as part of my research and as part of my learning, I've been to see many psychics, and I understand now that many of us have become psychic because we've gone through some kind of trauma in our early childhood, or we've had to survive a dysfunctional upbringing. We've always been in a state of survival almost. So consequently, when those psychics become adults, they're still dealing with the intuitive information through the trauma, and I can tell when the psychic actually hasn't really forgiven or worked through their own issues, shall we say. It's still unresolved. So what's interesting for me is, and I had to go through this myself before I could really become a professional psychic, is to acknowledge what my stuff was, if you like, and work on that. And then, although it's not all healed by any stretch of the imagination, really come to terms with it. And so I have done quite a bit of forgiveness, if you like, and working through my stuff. What would you say to somebody now that wants to become intuitive and psychic and they have this stuff in the way? Do you think we need to go back to the original pain in order to go into the forgiveness? Do we have to know what it was and who did who to what? Or can we just go into another process that allows us to let it go?
Well, that's a very good question. What I really, really believe is going back into the past is simply recycling.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very often people can get stuck in the trauma by recycling.
Okay.
So one of the first things that comes up for me around this topic is simply being able to trust your feelings.
Okay.
And spirit will never give us more than we can handle. And when we are really ready to deal with the trauma and we trust our feeling, an experience will arrive in the present moment which will help us deal with that particular imprint without having to go back and replay the stories of the past.
Okay. So is it possible, for example, a few weeks ago I had Dr. Anne-Marie Evers on who writes about and teaches affirmations as a way of reprogramming the mind, for example. Is it possible to say, I now forgive myself and I'm innocent and therefore it is, or do you think there's a lot more to it?
There's a word that Louise Hay writes about in her books that is very powerful, and that is willingness.
Yes.
The willingness to forgive, the willingness to release, the willingness to love is very powerful.
Yes.
And I would recommend that's the starting point, especially when you're dealing with trauma, that you're in the place of the willingness. Because your inner child will be very, very afraid. She will say, I don't know if I can trust this. If I immediately go to, I'm willing to forgive. When I go into just being able to feel the feeling, have the compassion, and bring that energy forward with me, so that in this present moment, the experience that is given, I can look at it and go, yes, I am willing to forgive the betrayal. We use that as an example.
Okay.
I can forgive that betrayal that's showing up today. And in the willingness to forgive betrayal, it begins to resonate throughout my psyche.
Okay.
To really comfort all those pieces.
And as you're going through this process, people might be thinking, well, what about the person that did this to me? What do you suggest that the person that's been injured, how do they hold that person in their mind during the forgiveness process?
Well, one of the things that I personally do is send the person love.
Mm-hmm.
I also acknowledge the truth of that person, whatever that may be, whether they are hurtful, dangerous, whatever it is that I know to be true.
Yes.
Once I know that to be true, I can stop trying to figure out why they did what they did.
Okay.
And I can come back to myself and go, I deserve to be loved. I deserve to be respected. Whatever the trigger is that the particular incident occurred,
yes,
I deserve, I'm safe. So that the affirmation then becomes about me rather than recycling my thoughts about why did they do this to me.
Yeah, so trying to figure anything out.
That's right.
Because
no one knows why someone does what they do.
No.
All we have is our power to say, you know what, I'm here for me now.
Yes.
And what is it I need right now to move forward?
Yes.
And trusting my intuition about that.
I like what you say. In my practice as a psychic, what I often try and convey to people is that there are, in some ways, no victims. And I don't know if you'd agree with me on this, but it's like we come to the planet to learn a huge lesson. And I believe that while we're still in spirit, before we come here, we create a movie for ourselves, and we are the star in this movie. So everybody that comes into our sphere, if you like, into our movie, all the events, all the characters are just that, and they're there actually coming from a very good place to teach us to love ourselves more, to step more into our power. But what happens, I find, with people, I don't know if you'd agree, but we take it very personally. Mm-hmm. And if we remove that and say, this is just a character in the movie, and often our greatest enemies are our biggest teachers, how would you add to that or change that?
Well, I like what you're saying, Natasha. It's really a powerful piece for sure for people. One of the things that I look at is the difference between, we have a choice. We're either in choice or we are a victim.
Yes.
There's one or the other.
Okay.
So that as I'm looking at my life, looking, as you say, at the movie of my own life, I'm now called to look at and make a decision. Am I ready to release the need to be victimized by this story? What is my choice? My choice is to hang on to the past. My choice is to be happy.
Yes.
And with every single experience, I believe that's what we're called to do. Because the more I choose to be happy, the more I live in my life's purpose, which is the whole point.
Yes, because Louise Hay talks about willingness, and I'm
yes.
absolutely with you on that one. I talk a lot about intention. Of course, the willingness has to precede the intention, but my intention is to be happy, is to be free and clear of anything that's holding me back from that happiness. Laurie, do you have any questions around this yet?
No, not at the moment, no. This
okay.
is very interesting.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, how do you, when I'm telling people this this idea, this concept I have that, you know, we're on this, Shakespeare said it, we're on a stage and everybody on it is an actor, and that there are no victims. In fact, there's a chapter in my book called There Are No Victims. How do you find people respond to that? Because I find some people get very indignant, saying, yes, I want to be a victim. I was hard done by. How do you approach that, Liz?
Well, with being a victim, it is the way we've learned to receive our love.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm holding on to the story and I'm living in victim energy, then I'm getting what I need in the way of love and approval. Until I wake up and I go, oh, I have another choice here. I can choose to receive love and give love to myself.
Yes.
In a new way.
Yes.
And until I understand that piece, I may cycle through victim energy for a lot longer.
Yes.
Because I'm unable to set the intention to be happy. My choice is to receive love through this old story.
That's very interesting you say that, because as a lot of my clients know and my readers know and maybe some of this audience know, I didn't have a warm and fuzzy with my relationship with my mother at all. I didn't come from a warm and fuzzy family where there was a lot of love. So when I finally went for counseling at the grand old age of 35, she said, you can take care of yourself. You can give yourself the love that you need as an adult. And I think what she was talking about was the work that Louise Hay does is the adult taking care of the child. Is that what you also promote?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because one of the journeys based on being in a family where the warm and fuzzy is missing
yes.
is that there is no permission within that family to move forward into happiness and love.
No.
And so the only way that can happen is for us to reprogram the adult within us, and that adult then takes care of the child within us who experienced what she or he experienced.
Yes. And is that a simple process? Is that ongoing, or can we just flick a switch?
Well, it can be simple if I'm ready, completely 100% ready.
Yes.
What I've experienced is that people who are really ready, they show up in my life.
Yes.
And with the work I do with the workshops and the coaching, we very quickly move into identifying the victim energy, into identifying the family patterns that are holding us back. And once we have that understanding, we begin to create a new dialogue that supports our inner child to release the fear of the past.
That sounds wonderful. And can I ask you this? Who are the kind of people that come to you? Are there a certain age or a gender? I'm going to ask you to come back and answer that after the break. Thank you, Liz. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Today we are talking with Liz Robitaille, life coach and certified teacher of Louise Hay, about forgiveness and how to love the self more so we can all be happy. So, Liz, just before the break, I was asking you, you said that the people that come to you are the people that are ready to heal and to forgive and to get out of victim mode. What is there a demographic for that, those people that do come to you?
Well, they're from all different age brackets.
Yes.
20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Wow. That's wonderful. I'm very inspired to hear that.
Yeah, of course, demographically, there are more women than men
yes.
who do arrive.
As always.
However, know, we've heard over and over that you heal yourself, you heal your world. So what I've witnessed is the women coming into the work. It's such a powerful experience that it begins to change their way of being in their relationships.
That's wonderful.
With their husbands, with their children, and with their grandchildren. It's just a whole life transformation.
So can I ask you this? Why do you think it is so hard for us to love ourselves? Is it just in this culture, in our Western culture, or is it
everywhere?
Well,
there are some cultures there's no word for love.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Which culture?
I've worked with people from different cultures, and so being able to explain what love is to someone who's in a culture that loves, there's no word for it, is rather interesting.
Yes.
In the work with Louise Hay, what she says is the greatest barrier to understanding love is criticism.
Hmm.
And in her book, she talks about the fact that a child is born with no criticism.
Right.
It expects and demands to be loved, period.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. There's no contest. There's no distrust. There's no fear. It knows its right to be loved. And what I've experienced and what I've witnessed with my clients is that over the course of time, for the first 19 years of your life, we are exposed to so many outside filters that teach us how to receive our love.
Mm-hmm.
In some families that live in the warm and fuzzy, their imprint for love will be a little different. Every single family has a way of receiving, giving love.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go to school, we champion the criticism in the way school is designed, so
yes,
that you're only praised for what you've done well and you're criticized for what you failed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin to learn that in order to move forward, criticism is the way. And the more criticism is present in my life, the less I love myself.
That's right. And there's plenty of criticism around in this Western world, I find.
Yeah.
And I come from a British background, so, you know, I had a military-type father, so you can guess what that was like.
Yeah.
So, Laura, did you want to jump in there with your question?
Yes, actually, if I can. So criticism, then, we bring with us all the way up and through our lives. Is that when we're very hard on ourselves?
Yes, it is, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then when the self-love comes in, then, I really actually would like you to define it, because
mm-hmm.
I was asked yesterday, I discussed this with a friend, and self-love came up, and I actually questioned myself probably for the first time ever in my life. Well, of course I love myself. I mean, I'm kind, very caring, loving person. Why wouldn't I love myself? And then I had to ask, what is it? Actually, I really don't know if I know.
Okay. Well, my first reaction to that question is that self-love is a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling of knowing within your heart you're okay, that you are supported, that you are respected, that your life flows. It's a physical feeling of being able to breathe deeply within your life without any fear, without any guilt.
Wow, that's huge. I mean, I would say, Liz, when I'm dealing with my clients and people ask me what is their purpose, I say that I believe that we all come here to this earthly existence to learn to love ourselves. And what I see, and I think Louise Hay said this in her book, is about 95% of us have this feeling that we're not good enough, that we don't love ourselves enough, or as much as we deserve to love ourselves. And is there a process, I mean, that you could suggest to me that I can pass on to my clients to say, this is what you do to love yourself more?
Yes. One of the things that through the affirmation process is so important is to acknowledge every single voice we hear.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to say to the voice that says, not good enough, thank you for sharing, I am good enough. Here to say to the voice, I'm afraid, thank you for sharing, let's do this together. To be in a constant dialogue of support for yourself. Mm-hmm. And through that process, the criticism softens to the point where it only surfaces when we are doing something that could be unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Which means what?
What that means is, for example, if I am on the edge of a cliff and I know I'm about to jump into something, so let's say my intuition tells me this relationship is unhealthy, it's unsafe. When I love myself, I will know that before.
Yes.
My critic will say, oh, there you go again. And I say, thank you for sharing. You know what? You're right. I'm doing it again. What am I going to do right now to take care of myself? I'm going to move myself from that unsafe relationship.
So, Liz, it's like we all have this barometer inside of us, no matter how much we were abused or criticized. Do we all have that barometer inside of us that lets us know? I would call it intuition, but
yes.
I think it's also based in a degree of self-love.
Yes.
I know I haven't listened to my intuition sometimes because I've berated myself and said, oh, Natasha, you know, you're just making this up. And it's come from actually this not loving myself and not respecting my inner voice and not trusting it and not acting upon it, and then I've got myself into trouble.
Yes.
So how can we trust that inner voice when we don't really know if it's coming from our intuition or if it's coming from, you know, my mother's voice that used to tell me I was stupid or I didn't know what I was talking about?
Well, I can guarantee you that you'll feel it in your breath.
In the breath?
In the breath.
That's interesting.
Yes. When I'm feeling completely in self-trust, my breath will flow. When I'm going into a place of danger for myself, my breath will be cut off. Now, that danger could simply be self-criticism, and my breath will get shallow.
Okay.
Would that be in comparison to panic attacks?
Yeah, Liz. Yeah, definitely different.
So you're saying the breath would become shorter?
That's right.
Yes.
Do you ever notice when you're really wanting to go for something, how all of a sudden you feel like you can hardly take a full breath?
Yes.
That's the evidence that you're in self-criticism rather than self-acceptance.
And self-acceptance would be deep and calm breaths?
Yes.
Then? Okay.
And that would be the evidence of love.
Yes, because it comes from the knowing of the truth, right?
Yes.
Because this is what I say to clients all the time, and my psychic development students, being psychic and being intuitive is really just knowing the truth. That's all it is.
Yes, and trusting it.
Trusting it and then
the
acting upon it.
Yes.
Because it is the truth. And not discounting that inner voice that is speaking to us and guiding us, I believe. I just want to go back a second, and we're coming up to another break soon, so I just want to talk about how in The Course of Miracles, which was a book that came out, I think, in the early 80s or middle 80s, and in that book it talked about energy being divided into two main vibrations or emotions. We were either in fear base or we were in love base. And now with the movie The Secret out and the Law of Attraction all over the map, a lot of people have become more aware of what they're attracting with their fear thoughts and their love thoughts. And how can you, Liz, advise people to be diligent with going from a place of fear to a place of love just on a daily basis? Can you give us a quick answer to that?
Yes. The acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real.
Right.
So the quick answer to that is ask yourself the question, what do I know is true?
Okay.
And when I can answer the question, what do I know is true, then I can return to the present moment.
I like that. And I have a little trick myself that I do if I find myself in a situation and I have a fear thought or I envision some kind of ghastly disaster happening, I ask myself, is this the truth or am I making it up, which is basically what you're saying. And I just say, cancel, cancel, love, love. And with the love, love word, what comes to me is a different vision of the opposite happening or the opposite being true.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that I can choose. I'm in a place, like you say, I can choose fear or love.
Yes.
Despite how I'm feeling about myself at the time. So when we come back, let's talk about how forgiveness, and let me just confirm this with you, how forgiveness leads us to self-love and self-love can lead to happiness. Is that the order that you would put it in?
Let me think about that, and when we come back from the break, I'll respond to that question.
That sounds great. So we're talking with Liz Robitaille, and we'll be back very soon. Stay tuned. Welcome back. I'm Natasha Rosewood, and I'm speaking today with Liz Robitaille, life coach and certified Louise Hay teacher, about the link between forgiveness and happiness. So just before the break, Liz, I asked you, which comes first, self-love, forgiveness, or happiness? What is the process, do you think?
Well, this is the way I look at it. Self-love is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Which creates happiness,
mm-hmm.
which creates the willingness to forgive.
I like that. So we need to start by loving ourselves a lot more.
Yes.
Okay. What are the physical things that we can do for ourselves to love ourselves more?
Well, I would suggest, number one, stop all criticism.
Yes.
And stop comparing yourself.
To others.
To others.
Yes. Yes.
And begin there.
Okay, and I know that the Buddhists talk about the three levels of spiritual evolution, and they start with, the first level is acknowledging that life is suffering, which is great, and learning compassion.
Yes.
And I say to people, if you can't forgive in the moment, at least have compassion for the person, because you know, on some level they were coming from fear. Whatever they did, and it was negative, it must have been a fear-based action. And to feel for the moment in which they made that decision that they were coming from fear. Would you add anything to that?
I would add, be in self-compassion for yourself.
Okay.
Be always in self-compassion.
I like that. I really like
when
that.
When you have that, then there's no worry about why the other person was coming from, whether they were coming from fear or control. It's all about fear.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. And where does gratitude play into this for you?
Well, one of the things I discovered in loving myself is the gratitude for all the contributions that I make in other people's lives and that other people make in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, from my point of view, it is about connection. This physical experience is about connection.
Yes.
Connection through self-love and acceptance. And when you can be in self-love and acceptance, the ability to love and accept others is so much easier.
Yes. And in a couple of words, what would you say that forgiveness can bring to us?
Forgiveness brings love
okay.
to our own experience. It opens the door for more connection. It is the channel to moving into your own life purpose. Without
mm-hmm.
forgiveness, we stay stuck and we recycle the negatives,
mm-hmm.
which hold us back from what we originally as soul contracted to do here.
Okay. And I want people to be able to find you, Liz, because this is such a huge topic and it's so interesting, and I might sign up for one of your workshops myself. how can people find you if they would like?
They can go to my website,
mm-hmm.
which is wisdomiswithin.com.
Okay.
And there you'll get to meet me. And I have a schedule of workshops that I offer.
Okay.
And also contact information for coaching.
Wonderful.
I am doing a 2-day How to Love Yourself workshop in the near future, so...
Which location? Which city?
North Vancouver, BC. Vancouver Island in British Columbia.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. So people can go to www.wisdomiswithin.com and find out all about you.
That's right. And my telephone contact information is there.
Wonderful.